Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
From refrigerators to roller coasters, from neon signs to digital music, everywhere you turn, the things around you help explain the fundamentals of science. And in a really fascinating new way, National Geographic's The Science of Everything, a brand new book, reveals the science behind virtually everything. David Pogue, who is the former New York Times tech columnist, now with Yahoo, has written the foreword to the book, and it's a great pleasure to welcome him to the roundtable. Thank you very much for being with us. I appreciate it.
Why, thank you. Thank you very much.
So how are things at Yahoo with the new gig?
It's really exciting. I was at the New York Times for 13 years. I love the New York Times. I thought I'd be there forever, but Yahoo came to me this summer and pitched a new consumer technology website that would have an incredible reach. You know, Yahoo gets 800 million viewers a month. It's just insane, and, you know, great resources to make it something really beautiful and funny and interesting. So they appealed to the creative bug in me.
So you will ultimately head their consumer tech coverage, which in many ways is not all that different from what you were doing at the Times.
No, not at all. I'll be doing, you know, a weekly column and a weekly video and blog posts just as I was doing at the Times. The only difference is that I will also have a staff of other columnists and personalities, and also the reach is more than just what gadget to buy. I hope to also extend it to then how do you use it? What do you do with it once you've got it? And tips and tricks and troubleshooting and a whole extended range like that.
So you have written the foreword to this National Geographic book, Science of Everything. Give us a sense of what the book hopes to achieve in the sense of taking a look at how things work in our world. Because really, I guess we could joke about it, but it really is everything.
It really is everything. The book, you know, it's a coffee table book, a big, beautiful, lavishly illustrated book. And each page has, you know, one, two, three small articles that demystify every ordinary thing in the world around you. You know, fireworks and elevators and stringed instruments and gyroscopes and Segway scooters and on and on and on. And basically it tells you the scientific principles behind each one. So there's just so many times I didn't write the thing, so I'm allowed to say this. So many times, you know, you read some page and go, oh, you're kidding, that's how that works? You know, did you know that beer is, you're basically drinking the poop of microscopic fungus? that's what yeast is. It's a fungus.
Maybe that's why you didn't write it, David.
Yeah. Yeah, hey, leave the guy to write the foreword. Let more appealing writers write the rest.
It's quite a turn of phrase there. It's lovely.
Exactly. Yeast converts the sugar into alcohol and carbon dioxide.
You make the point in the introduction that we all have this assumption that somewhere, somehow, somebody knows what is going on there. And you make the point of, well, why can't that be you?
Exactly. We say, oh, we're overwhelmed by technology. It's too complicated. I could never fix my car like my father could in his day. But you know what? It's still the same scientific principles, the same mechanical principles, the same electrical principles. Why shouldn't you? You know, maybe you're not going to be able to repair your Toyota Prius, but shouldn't you know how it works? Wouldn't it be satisfying to know that it's not some demonic, mystifying creature of the devil?
And you see this, I assume, because this is how at least I've used the book in the time that I've had it, where you dip in and you dip out, you look at things that you want and things that you find interesting in one way, shape, or form.
Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure it's a book you'd read from the front to the back. I mean, there will be people who do that, but they're nerds.
I mean, you make the point in the introduction again about simply things that we take for granted, like air conditioning, about how actually, I just always assumed that it was cold air being shoved into a room, but you make the point that it's actually heat being extracted out of the room.
That's right. In fact, this is really weird. there is no such thing as cold. There is no such thing. There is heat, and then there is the absence of heat. Heat is the movement of atoms and molecules. It's motion, it's energy. And when you can subtract that, and things get colder in temperature, but you can't blow cold into a room. You can only suck heat out of a room.
When you, in knowing that, in knowing about how lasers work, in knowing about what is actually going on when we go through that airport scanner, how do you think that that improves us of having a better understanding, not only about that particular technology, but science overall?
Okay, well, now you're pushing my button. See, here's my
well, good.
I think that the whole, like, religion versus science debate is totally misplaced. So to answer your question, first of all, the more you learn about the way the world works and the things we've created out of the world, the more amazed and awed you are. And you don't need to say, I mean, you're welcome to say that a greater power created it. That's a perfectly good philosophy. But you don't even need that level. Just looking at what we've been given is totally astonishing. And I think what it does for an individual is it takes away the fear. I mean, in this country, you know, 40% of us don't believe that evolution is a valid theory. 45% of us don't believe that global warming is caused by humans, even though there's lots of scientific fact. And I think we just fear the unknown. It's fundamental. It's an evolutionary thing we've developed to be afraid of the dark. So conversely, the more you know, the more light is being shed, and the happier and more confident you are. You're the master of your environment. You have less to fear the more you know. That's my philosophy, and I'm sticking to it.
And you make the point, Mr. Pogue, that what is fascinating but doesn't make any sense is that with this increased technology, with so much science around us and literally in our pockets, that we don't teach it as much. It is a program that is often the first cut in schools when budgets hit the wall, and we don't have much of a regard for understanding it.
It's true, and that's a change from the old days, right? I mean, America used to be known for our scientific and technological prowess. This is the country that invented the TV, the car, the radio, the iPhone. So it used to be that, you know, marrying a scientist, you know, like an IBM man, that was considered a great catch, you know? And now we have a suspicion. Now we have doubt. We have controversy. We are suspect of science. It's a weird development because, you know, science is going to be our solution to the world's great problems.
So with that mindset, how does that color what you have written for so many years for The Times and now with Yahoo?
Well, that's it. It's the same mission. It's to demystify. It's to lay bare what is being given to us and to make it understandable and therefore less terrifying. I mean, whether it's, you know, a microwave oven or, you know, your phone, if you find out that it's actually simple scientific principles, that it was really designed to help you, and the only failing is the way it's been explained to you, that is my mission. I often like to take something that has not been well explained or well understood and try to make sense of it for readers.
Would we know more if we actually read the user manuals?
It's not clear. I'm really not sure you would. I mean, the reason I do computer books on these things, you know, I've written books on Windows and Mac and iPhone, is that the instruction manual will tell you to emblobify the Freen module, implement the rotary dunkel. You know, but it doesn't tell you why you'd want to do that. It doesn't tell you when to do that. It doesn't tell you the context or how much to rotate the dunkel. So they tell you these rote things, but without ever really giving the context.
And we're assuming that we know what a dunkel is.
Exactly.
Right.
Oh, my gosh. I often make fun of other people's computer books. I know that's really mean. But there's this one style where they're going through some dialog box in your software, and it will identify each thing and then tell you what it does. And it'll say, you know, step 7, Freen defilibrator. And then as the explanation, it'll say, defilibrates the Freen. You know, it's like, I got that!
Well, David Polk has written the introduction to the really cool new book, and you nailed it. It's a coffee table book, and it's splashy and really pretty, and it's very, very cool to look at. It's The Science of Everything with the foreword by David Polk, who is now with Yahoo, formerly the New York Times. David, we wish you well in your new endeavors, and thank you so much for being with us this morning. I really appreciate it.
Me too. That was great fun.
Thanks so much. Again, the title of the book, Science of Everything, with a foreword by David Pogue. It is from National Geographic. You're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.